You that have your Bibles, if you want to turn to Genesis. We were left off with the third chapter. Let's remember Ty in our prayers. David Cole, would you ask the Lord's blessing? We opened last week. We're studying dispensational. You that had your charts that were given out, you that weren't here, my wife, she has these charts. If you'll ask her for one, if you want one, she ought to be here in a few minutes. And we were studying innocence, which was the garden before the fall. And in dispensational truth, if you've studied the Bible, you'll know that more than half of the Bible is given to God's dealings with one nation, the Jew. And there came a time and a certain designated time that God started dealing with an individual and a nation. And then you that realize and study the Bible, you'll know that God's dealing in this age is neither with Jew or Gentile, but with the church. Each of these had their start in a certain time. You that have read the Bible. And each were required to do a certain thing. In other words, Israel was to set their affections on a land. He said they wouldn't have my land. And if you want to get confused, you can really get confused by trying to put certain promises and certain times of living to your life now. In other words, God tolerated David to have eight wives. He even said, I gave you eight wives. You weren't satisfied. Well, anybody that knows the New Testament now knows that you're supposed to have one wife. And Israel was to set their affections on a land. We are to set our affections on things above heaven. And as you read, now as we'll bring out on each dispensation, always keep this in mind. Nobody's saved unless they have faith in that seed, which was Jesus Christ. Everybody's saved alike, regardless. From the time of Adam to the last. If you don't have faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, you're not born again. And Jesus, in the third chapter of John, said, except a man, that's any man, and the first man, Adam, from that time on, be born again. He can have no part with the kingdom of God. So, in each dispensation, it's either faith looking forward to the seed, which was Jesus Christ, or as we look back to Calvary. They look forward to Calvary, we look back to Calvary. But then, as you study the Bible, it's evident that the Lord had certain things for certain people. When the Gentile Phoenician woman came, he wouldn't even talk to her. He wouldn't even send his disciples to the Gentiles or the Samaritans. So, if you're going to read a lot of these promises in the Old Testament, which these assemblies mainly do, and try to apply going into the land and killing off all the babies, killing off everybody, your enemies, and not apply love your enemies to this time, you're going to be confused your entire walk in this life. You go over to Palestine and tell those Jews, if you're a Gentile, that you came over there to possess that land. See what happens to you. You'll find out what they'll do to you. They'll laugh up their sleeve at you. You go to work over there, you'll find out you're a Gentile. Real quick, if you've been around some of them work like that, you'll find out when it's the bottom line, you're a Gentile to them. So we had studied this first dispensation of time, and each of these dispensations has a beginning, a responsibility, a failure, and a judgment. As you've seen in each of the dispensations that was handed out in that chart. So, neither Israel or the church always existed. Matthew 16:18 says, I will, not I've been building my church, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Ephesians 3:5-10 tells us that the church was hid. It was unknown. It was merely in type in the Old Testament only. But as far as the church or the body of Christ existing up to that time, it was the mystical church of today was hid, unknown. And as we said, Israel was to destroy their enemies. And the very fact that they didn't destroy their enemies is the very fact that they're having this trouble today. If you watch the news this week, you've seen those Arabs and Herod. They said they're not even, Abraham wasn't their father. Watched them right there on TV. We're the children of Abraham. And they're willing to cut your throat over that. God knew what he was saying, didn't he? When he told them to obey him. Now for you to go out and do that would be a complete opposite of what you're taught. During this time, Christ said the church was to love their enemies. We were to set our affections on things above and not things of this earth. So as we get into these studies now, everything in the Old Testament is for our learning, if you apply it right. So let's trust the Holy Spirit that we will apply it right, keeping in mind, though, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Faith in the seed or the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way that you're going to see the kingdom of God. And Jesus, when he told Nicodemus, he was saying, knowest not these things? Here you're supposed to be a leader, a teacher, a preacher of what is basic, and you don't even know the basic thing. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That is basic. So, starting with Genesis 3:8, we'll go over that a little more. We brought out what had happened. Adam had came pure from his maker. It wasn't that he didn't know good, because good was all around him. He knew good. Every 24 hours a day, he knew good. He knew God. But he sure didn't know the difference between good and evil until he met the devil. And then he realized what evil was. So they did disobey the commandment of God. Their eyes were open. They were promised their eyes were open. But it sure wasn't open to spiritual things, was it? We'll read later, Eve said, I've gotten a man from God, Cain. No discernment whatsoever. She was blinded to what spiritual discernment was. And this is what happened to them. And so reading from 3:8, and they heard the voice of the, they had did this. They were in innocence. Now their eyes are open. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? This is the first salvation message. Unless a sinner realizes where they are, where their position is before God, that is a sinner, they're never going to get saved. And the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts a sinner today. He's got to know he's a sinner and the position he's in before he's going to get saved. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid. Talk about a fear. He wasn't afraid with his self-righteous aprons that they had made until he faced God. And all self-righteousness will be of no avail, and a fear like you can't believe when they face God. When there is nothing between them and a living God but anger against sin. And he said, I hid myself. And of course, perfect love cast out all fear. That love and that doubt that they had was gone. And now it's fear. And he said, I was naked and I hid myself. So he said, Who told thee thou was naked? Of course, his conscience had awakened to that he was a sinner. Hast thou eaten? Of course, God knew he had. It isn't of what the tree was. It was disobedience. I commanded. And anything God tells you, you're going to suffer a consequences. Unless, of course, now the position they got in, Christ, would become that was planned from before this time. We are much more in Christ. But still, see what happened here. Wherefore I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat. And the man said, he right away blames God because the woman was given from God. And he charges God, if you hadn't gave me the woman, I wouldn't be in this position. The typical parts of this, Christ was willing, and he knew what it would do to him. We're not going to get into. But nevertheless, notice one thing about this. His love for that woman is a type of Christ. And when it says Adam was not deceived in the New Testament, but Eve. And at that time, he thinks, well, I can face God. But then when he faced him, he realized there's nothing, no love, nothing as important as doing the will of God. And he was a different person when God cornered him face to face, wasn't he? He started making an excuse, as we say, passing the buck. And he did. And the Lord said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? God knows, but she sure didn't know. She sure didn't know that each and every one of you, her grandchildren, this what she had brought on us, did she? How do you think that she felt that night that her first son killed her other one? What hast thou done? Do you know what sin is? No. She didn't know what sin was. She was beguiled. And she says, I was beguiled and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. And get this, the serpent was no more than an animal, cattle. And this is very plain here, that it's above every beast of the field. And upon thy belly, the serpent evidently stood upward. He would crawl, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. And now, he gives the punishment out to the beast, and now he goes to the devil, but in telling the devil what would finally be his death blow, he gives us, our grandparents, a promise before he hands down their sentence. And that is a wonderful thing. They heard good news before they heard the bad news. And so it says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now let's look at this 15th verse real careful. I will, this is going to be future, put enmity between thee. Okay, the thee is Satan. As he, Ezekiel 28, if you read there, you'll see that the king of Tyre, the first part of the 28th chapter, is directed to a man, a king. And then, when you get to the 13th verse, you'll find out that it is directed to Satan, who was in the Garden of Eden. That king was never in Eden. So, if you read 28:13, Ezekiel, you'll find out it says, and thou were there in the garden? So it is here. He addresses the serpent, like he addresses that king first, and now in this 15th verse, he addresses Satan himself. And then it says, I will put enmity between Satan and the woman. The woman here is Israel. It wasn't that Satan just hated Eve for her lifetime. This is a continuous hatred. This is a continuous war, as it is with Satan and Israel. And between thy seed and her seed. Now notice the two seeds here. They're both in the singular. They're both one person. Now, if her seed is Christ, then what is his seed? One person. Here, he's saying the Antichrist and the Christ. Both, in 1 Thessalonians 2:3, you'll see that the Antichrist is both a man of sin and the son of perdition. He is both a man and a son. Christ is both the son of man and the son of God. Perfect humanity and perfect deity. Here we see from the beginning that the devil would have a counterfeit. That he would imitate the Trinity, which is the false prophet. You don't see, of course, the Holy Spirit is here. You don't see the Holy Spirit the same as you don't see the false prophet, but they're here. And the 2 Thessalonians 2:8, that is 2:8, it says, when the bride is taken, then that wicked one shall be revealed, him whose coming is after and working of Satan, with all power. God will allow this man to have all power and signs and lying wonders. What the Lord Jesus Christ turned down, of course, even after the 40 days of temptation, this man will take. You think of a man for a short time to rule as God, which will be in a 7-year rule, but 3.5 of that is God. He will take what the devil offers him. And you think, what a fool. But my brother Chubb was over here with a young guy. I think he was about in around 18. He was taking steroids. And he told my brother, he says, well, I don't care what steroids do to me for that one moment of being up there and being Mr. Junior Colorado. That guy, we see it all the time. And here, this, as we know him as the beast, both in Revelation and in Revelations. Revelation 3 says, he will make all the rich poor, free, bond to receive his mark. And back in 2 Thessalonians 2:4, it says he will exalt himself as God. He will be worshipped as God. 1 John 2:18, it says, in the last time, this Antichrist shall come. But he says, even now, there are many Antichrists. And so in the Old Testament, we have the type of this thy seed. The same as we have the type of Christ, the seed. In Daniel 7:8, he's called a little horn. In Daniel 8:23, he's called a king. In Daniel 9:26, the prince. And then in Daniel 12:11 and Matthew 24:15, he's called an abomination. This is the same as the beast of Revelation. So he says there in 15, I will put enmity between Satan and Israel, being that Israel produced the seed. That is the Christ. And I will thy seed and her seed, the last thrust. This Antichrist will try to completely wipe out Israel. And her seed. Now, her seed is, she thought her seed, her the fruit of her womb was Cain. A woman, it isn't ever her seed, it's just the fruit of her womb from the man's seed. So here, the seed is, as you can see, was the Holy Spirit, and of course, thy seed will, of course, be a man, the seed from Adam, the Adamic nature. Ephesians 2:2, it says, speaking of the spirit that works in the sons of disobedient, they disobey the gospel, like Cain did. What happens to Cain here? We're going to read about Cain in this, in the conscience dispensation. He disobeyed the gospel. This first gospel message being preached was so clear. He disobeyed it. And he became a son of the devil. Just like Jesus said, ye are of your father the devil. They had made a choice. They had disobeyed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then it goes on to say, in Ephesians 2 there, about the children of wrath. That is, the wrath that comes on anybody. We were all the children of wrath to come, had we disobeyed the gospel. And when this time comes, only God knows unless he shows you. But you can disobey the gospel, and there are many antichrists. But this seed, the same is just one, as you'll notice there, which is this man of sin, this son of perdition. Her seed, notice it's not Adam's seed. And this would be, if it was of Adam and her, it would have been the fruit of her womb. But her seed is the Holy Spirit, one person. So you can see how plainly it was right from the beginning, these two seeds. And it shall bruise thy head, or he, you can see that from his heel. The Holy Spirit is himself, not it, the same as this is it. And it's clarified by his heel. Thou shalt bruise his heel, or him. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Notice that these two bruisings take place at the same time. Two bruisings. And they did take place at the same time. There are those that will teach you that God is still working, and he's going to cast out the devil. He's already cast out. He's already bruised. He's already received the death blow. When, and of course, it appeared that he had won. He'd put him in the tomb, physical death. But it was just the bruising of the heel as he kicked up on the cross. It's the bruising of the heel. He rose. He's out of the tomb. The judgment. Jesus says in John 12:31, now, right now, is Satan cast out. The two bruisings will take place at the same time. And they did. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. But it's obvious he hasn't taken it yet, right? The same thing as he's finished. His teeth, death is gone. And he knows it that way. He doesn't know how the time is. And then it says, and he is cast out, which will be soon. We go up, he's cast to this earth, woe be unto the earth. Then he knows he can figure the time then. And then he's cast to a pit, and then he's cast to the lake of fire. It's as good as done. When Christ arose, it was as good as done. His head was bruised. And here, God is the first prophet, and God told us at this it wouldn't be Adam's seed. It would be a virgin that would have him. It would just be of the woman. And it's evident from the his Christ and thou. It's evidence, thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel, that thou there is Satan, not the seed or the Antichrist. So that's how you read it there. And then after this promise, he says unto the woman, Now, what a wonderful thing. First, he tells them that they're safe. They're not going to eternally die. That this seed, see why they look forward to that seed? This is the one that's going to deliver you from all this. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and conception. Notice it isn't childbirth like a lot of people try to make it. Or sex, that's what they're trying to make it. Because he'd already told them way before this in their innocency to multiply. And we know it was a real short time. It was just right away that because she didn't conceive in innocency. She conceived outside. But he warned her already that you wouldn't have had labor pains. In other words, he said to her, you're going to have labor pains. And he says to Adam, you're going to have hard labor. But it seems as if in our time she's got both. She's got the labor pains and the hard labor. Seems like the burden fell on her, huh? The guilt of it and everything. She bore twice about what he did, huh? And no wonder the Lord, the first one to give out the news was a woman. Huh? First one. And she gave us back a lot more than we lost, us guys, huh? She gave us Christ. She gave us something that we can really know God through fully. And so it's a wonderful thing. But he told her there that desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree I commanded thee, thou shalt not eat of it cursed. Notice, the curse is a blessing. And of sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth. You have to cultivate a crop. If you just leave a barren field, it'll grow thorns and thistles. And still they were a vegetarian. They were to still eat of the herbs. And then in the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. Notice this is a physical death. Out of it wast thou taken, and dust thou art, and unto dust thou shall return. Now Adam has won his independence, and he's put out, but now it will come a revelation from now on in the dispensations of Christ. A deep revelation that he would have never obtained had he stayed in that innocence. And you'll notice that this is a physical death that each and every one of us, Enoch, Elijah, are the only two that up to this time have escaped this. And this is merely what it is. You and I and each of us receive this Adamic sinful nature. But it is not that we receive the punishment. It is that what we do because of what we are. We finally practice what we are. And our punishment, or each and every one's punishment, won't be the afterwards. It'll be by your deeds. It always says you're judged by your deeds, not what you were. What you were was what your deeds become. We will soon read about a man that refused to admit he had this nature. And each and every one at the great white throne are judged for their deeds, for their acts, for what they individually done. I I told a man at work one time, I says, don't worry about so-and-so or so-and-so. When you stand there, there's not one thing going to be brought up what somebody else done. You're not going to point your finger over there and say, well, I was better than him or worse than him. You're just going to be judged for what you done. And by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in that day. Then he, and Adam called his wife, he grabs hold of that promise. Notice. He called his wife named Eve, or living, or life giver, not the mother of the dead where she put us. He lays hold of the seed, the one individual seed, not seeds, that would come of a virgin, that would come from a chosen woman, Israel. He lays hold of that and names her Eve, because she was the mother of all the living, not of all the dead. And to Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Now, for their faith in that seed, he demonstrates what has happened to them, and he goes on to preach another facet of truth to them. He kills animals. They should have died. They tried to cover their nakedness with fig leaves, self-righteousness. And he covers them with only what they could be covered with. The death of an animal, and puts his skin on them. It's his righteousness we have on us now. And they're brought back into fellowship with God. But God knows that we could never come into a revelation of him inside that garden. God doesn't put them on probation for anything from then on. The only promise and salvation they have is that he would be faithful now in sending this seed. Romans tells us that God wasn't a liar. He did exactly what he said he would do, and he was faithful in sending this seed. Everything from this time on is up to God. Conscious of what they are now, the revelation begin now. They know what they are, what Christ is going to be to them. First, he's just going to die. He's going to come and merely cover their sins. But oh, he's became much more than that to us. That is innocence. Innocence is now gone. And they know the difference between good and evil. We'll get into that. And that's mainly what they know. There are, like Armstrong teaches, that we can become as God, the Mormons. We'll get into that. There's only one potentate. There's only one that can come to that light. And we'll get into that.